everybody, and welcome to another Eagle's Eye Report. And today, being this close to the holidays, we're going to be giving you some information, but I'm not one who really likes to pop people's bubbles this close to the holidays, but this is not a Christmas show. It isn't. It's not even a New Year's show. It's a Please Wake Up show. And it's something that I feel needs to be done, and it's something I feel needs to be done as soon as possible. This is also branching off of several of the other topics over the last couple of weeks that we've made a lot of hubbub about. So before we get there, let's do our usual opening. Welcome to another episode actually number 33 of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, December 21st, 2022. And as you should all know by now, this show is sponsored by TLVTalk.com. I'm your host, Roger Landry, TLV, and the show is co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Steve Roberts, who I will bring in a few seconds. Let me get through the intro. The title of today's show is As More Freedom Is Stolen. Let me say that again. As More Freedom Is Stolen. Okay. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism of communicating the truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidden of these very concepts. As I say weekly, this is not a pleasant way to introduce a show. But it's reality, people, and today's show will make that even more blatant. It's very blatant, and it's not very pleasant in many aspects. But this is reality, and this is a reason for Eagle's Eye Report in the first place. The show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. All right, I say this every week, I'm going to say it again. If you want to support these platforms, any one of the ones I've just mentioned, if you want to support them, you want to keep them online, you want to help them to give you bigger, better, badder, faster. Yes, I know some of you people, probably quite a few of you people, occasionally send a donation to these stations. That's great. And you're appreciated for that. But if you want to do it one better, and I'm not asking you to give more unless you wish to, then please do. But if you are somebody who donates like every other month or three or four times a year or whatever, think it over in your head. What was the average total over the course of a year? $120, $150, whatever. Take that number, divide it by 12. The next time you go in to make a donation, click the button that says make this a monthly reoccurring donation. Or a monthly reoccurring charge, whatever it says at that point. The reason for that is twofold. Okay. One, you never have to worry about giving them a donation again. It'll automatically be taken out at that reduced rate out of your account every single month until you tell them not to do it anymore. And two, although you're giving basically the same amount each year you were always giving, they have a monthly stipend. They have, if it's $10, they have $10 on their sheet every single month. That now becomes a part of their budget. With a budget, they can increase what they can give to you, the services they can give to you, okay? The apps, whatever, they can make it bigger, badder, better, faster. So I'm not necessarily asking you to break the bank. What I am asking you to do is give them a level of confidence that you're going to be there each month with at least 1/12 of what you normally put in over the course of a year. Clicking that button, making this a reoccurring payment, does a whole lot to increase their ability to do things for you by them knowing they have a reoccurring budget. Okay. And yes, I'm going to talk about that every week because these are great platforms and they should be supported by those who listen to them. Okay, now, our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion, that being the sponsor of this show, TLVTalk.com. If you do nothing else at TLV Talk, if you don't want another social media platform, but you want a place where you can go and have discussions that you know people will hear and people will be allowed to hear and people will be allowed to participate in, then for nothing else, go to tlvtalk.com and start a group. Yes. Start a group where you can discuss the things you know will be shadow banned or literally kicked off the page if you were on Instagram, if you were on even a video of these subjects on YouTube, if you were on Facebook, so on and so forth. All right? And let me say hi to Stephen. How are you today, Stephen?
Pretty good today, Roger. Woke up early and I haven't been super tired, so doing good.
Well, we're getting close to Christmas, so are you starting to see that in the people around you?
Yeah, plus there's a storm coming in here in my area.
Yeah.
There must have been 8 zillion people at the store today, so trying to get a few things.
All right, let's get on with this. Information put out on the show today will be included in an article on thelibertybeacon.com tomorrow, Thursday, as every single week, by noon central. And it will include active links to all pertinent data points and or authors that I bring out in this discussion. Okay, so now it's down to business. Let's go over one more time the name of the show so we can set the stage. The name of the show, obviously, is Eagle's Eye Report, but the title of the show today is As More Freedom is Stolen. We have all heard the old saying, give them an inch and they'll take a yard. Now let's put this into a governmental perspective, okay? Give them emergency powers to deal with said emergency, whether it's justified or not, and you will never get them all back. What did I just say? If the government brings you to a point of a national emergency and states that a state of emergency must be declared, at which point they must claim certain emergency powers to fight this quote unquote emergency, the last thing you should ever believe is that once they take these emergency powers and said emergency is over, that all of these emergency powers will be relinquished. They will all be kicked back in the can. They will all be things they were never able to do before via the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, blah, 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 that these will all go away because the emergency no longer requires them. This is not true. It has never been true in this country, and it is even worse today than it was 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Every single time there is an emergency in this country and emergency powers are declared, we get 90% returned to us. Those emergency powers, which are not part of the normal governing routine of our government, our elected representatives, we should have all of those powers relinquished. It never happens. The average is about 90%. And people say, well, how do you know that? Well, most people wouldn't. If I have to live in a lockdown situation for almost a year, then all of a sudden I can get up and I can go here and I can go there and I can go there and I can see this person and I can see that person. The first thing that hits me as an average normal person, which I'm really not normal, but anyway, is that, oh, I'm so glad all of this is over. Nobody thinks to look under the hood and see that the motor's still running. Nobody seems to look and see exactly how many of the emergency powers in total, meaning every aspect of each one of those emergency powers, has been relinquished. What you will find out is it never is. How many national emergencies do you remember if you're my age, 68 years old? We had a lot. Okay? How many of them were false flags? Like, I don't know, 9/11. There's a battle we could have with a whole lot of people and probably never, ever come to agreement on. But at the same time, let's say that was a false flag event. How many of the freedoms that were taken away from you because of 9/11 have you gotten back? Do you know what the Patriot Act is? Do you know what the NDAA is? other than a national, authorization act for your military spending? Since 9/11, the amount of, intrusiveness the government has gained over you is beyond your recognition, because most of you people haven't done the research to find out. Because of 9/11 and other false flag events we have lived through, we suffer a massively reduced freedom and liberty status in America. Not a joke, not a guess. And if any of you would do any research at all, or just stop and think, how many governments take power and willingly give it back once they realize what they could do with that power? So again, if you give 100% emergency powers to fight an emergency and you get 90% back and everybody goes, my God, that's great. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad I can do everything I used to be able to do, and nobody bothers to look. But let's say over a period of 20 years, you have 20, 30 national emergencies. And each and every one of them, you lose a small percentage of what you and I consider to be our rights and liberties. After 20 years, what do your rights look like? Now, imagine that in a country like America, where the deep state has been pulling this crap for almost 100 years. And then understand that a lot of the liberties and the rights you believe you have, some of them only exist on paper, or only 90% of them are true, or only 80% of them are true. This isn't a joke. Roger's not trying to scare anybody, and I'm not tap dancing. We have just gone through one of the biggest, I'm going to give you all the emergency powers you need, in how long? And anybody who thinks that the lockdowns are over, because that to me was the ultimate test of their ability to put the hammer down on you and me. And a lot of what was done in lockdowns went directly against the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. But let's stop and think, okay? Is lockdown over? Well, a lot of what I'm going to be talking about going forward, as in talking points, comes from an article. And again, Roger does this on many occasions. It comes from an article that was written by a gentleman who, again, I have a lot of respect for. The title of my show is As More Freedom Is Stolen. The title of the article I'm going to be taking some very good talking points from is called We Are Still Locked Down. And it is written by Jeffrey A. Tucker from Brownstone. And I love reading Jeffrey's articles. This is a gentleman who actually sits down and does his comparison. He does his thinking. He thinks regionally. He thinks legally. He thinks he has the mind of a scholar. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now that one of my biggest issues going forward is under the First Amendment, the federal government may not police private speech. Let me repeat that. Under the First Amendment, the federal government may not police private speech. What the hell do you think is coming into your face from the Twitter files? In mass. And who out there listening to what I just said thinks that Twitter's the only one that's doing this? If you do, you're an idiot. Yep, go in the mirror, smile, and say, yep, I'm an idiot, because you are. This is going on at Facebook. This is going on at Instagram. This is going on at YouTube. This is going on in Google. This is going on. Okay? Under the First Amendment, the federal government may not police private speech. We know for a fact today they are, and they have been for a very long time. And it came to a head during the COVID crisis. It expanded to levels we never expected we would see it. Now, I'm going to tell you something before I go into pieces of Tucker's article. Okay? We know already that the CEO of Moderna has told us that COVID-19 is no worse than the yearly flu, a bad year's flu, unless you are over 80 years old or have multiple dangerous comorbidities. This is the CEO of the company, the second largest company making the mRNA vaccines. He stated this. Okay? So what we are looking at right now, amongst all of the lies, like the Pfizer officer stating to the European Commission, the European Union Commission, stating to them, we never tested our mRNA vaccines to see if they were transmissible, if you could transmit COVID while you were vaccinated. We never tested them for that. Why the hell would you even put that on the market if it couldn't stop transmission? But we found out it couldn't stop transmission. So we know that it is COVID-19 is no more dangerous than the yearly flu, unless you're old or have comorbidities, in which case that's the same every year with the yearly flu. We also know that the vaccine, quote unquote, was never tested for transmissibility before it was mandated to almost 5 billion people on this planet. What was the reason to destroy a massive amount of the global economy? What was the reason for isolating billions of people from other people? What was the reason for? What was the reason for? Because what I just told you from the Moderna CEO and from one of the officers from Pfizer, they had absolutely no reason to do any kind of a lockdown. But it happened. And when it happened, your rights went down the toilet. And if you don't think, which it doesn't bother me if you don't think, I happen to think, and that doesn't make me right, but if you don't think that this wasn't done intentionally, that this wasn't done to gain the upper hand, to bring in, I don't know, the Great Reset, to initiate global governance, at least in the basement level, if you don't think that all of this isn't the biggest lie ever told to humanity, whether it is to our personal being, whether it is to our personal health, whether it is to our personal economies, whatever it is, every day more and more is pointing to the fact that COVID was the biggest scam ever pulled on humanity. And it doesn't get better, because everything they needed to quote unquote, okay, make America safe from COVID-19, they got. And we haven't gotten it back. So let's go through some points before I say anything else. Anything from you there, Steve? You think I've hit the nail so far?
Well, I was wondering when you were going to ask me if I thought you were crazy or not.
Oh, don't answer that. Everybody knows. Everybody thinks crazy. Give me a break.
No, but what I was going to say was, I don't think you're crazy, Roger, but I could have swore I heard government and the mainstream media told us last week that they've been caught in 1,487 lies, but they weren't lying about this, though.
Yeah, not that. All right. Consider just how fortunate we are to have the Twitter files, okay? Every few days, we are seeing dumps of documents from the operations of Twitter before Elon Musk took over. This weekend's release was especially shocking. It revealed a close and symbiotic relationship between the company's management and the FBI, which employs 80 people to police social networks and flag posts. They're not looking for crimes, okay? They were focused on wrong think on matters of politics. So we have a government police force that is looking into how you think. Not whether you're committing a crime or not. What is your political tinge on something? And this is the FBI, and they have 80 employees set aside to do nothing but this. Well, gee, Roger made a comment not too long ago that says, under the First Amendment, the federal government may not police private speech. Oh, my God. Sure sounds like that's what they're doing to me. Oh, my goodness. Do you think our government would actually do that to us? In other words, all our worst suspicions have basically been confirmed. Okay? We still await the COVID files, which are coming out of the Twitter files as well. But let there be no doubt about what they're going to show in grim detail. Twitter worked with government to throttle the reach and searchability of accounts that took issue with the main messaging of the CDC and the HHS from early in lockdowns to the present day. We already knew that Facebook, listen to me, we already knew that Facebook had deleted 7 million posts in the second quarter of 2020 alone. Twitter pulled some 10,000 accounts down. So these are the two most in-your-face social media platforms, and one of them has deleted 7 million posts, and the other one has pulled 10,000 accounts off the stream. Twitter is now mostly open, well, for now. The rest of the venues remain wholly controlled. We have posts tagged, throttled, and sometimes deleted from LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, etc. And it is a constant struggle to avoid Google's own push against our content. Even ridiculous sites with no credibility or reach appear higher in search engines when our content is searched. This is not an algorithm at work, or it wouldn't look like this. On this basis alone, from what I've just told you, okay, it is fair to say that we still are in lockdown nearly 3 years later. The point of such top-down censorship is not only to control the public's mind, it is also to keep all of us from finding each other. Me, finding someone who thinks like me that can help me get it to the next level. It truly did work for a very long time. It took nearly a year for the group that we now know as the anti-lockdown movement to form. It took them almost a year to put that together. This is something that myself or Steve or someone else could put a group like this together in a matter of a week under normal conditions. And today, I don't even know what the hell normal conditions is, but it's something we're used to saying. I grew up saying that. I guess it's times when things weren't as bad as they are now. That's what people tend to call normal. But remember what I told you when I started all this. When you give these people emergency powers, whether they ever really needed them or not, whether it was an actual real emergency or not, whether it was just a mechanism to gain more power and more control over you, and it's successful, okay, it doesn't matter. You're never going to get back the power they were given. The impact of all this work to keep us apart has been huge. It's why those of us who resist from the very beginning felt so very alone. And yes, we did. But we couldn't understand why. Were we going crazy? What is wrong with people that they seem not to be objecting to having their schools and churches closed? Why was the media demonizing people for wanting to get haircuts? Whatever happened to the Bill of Rights, and why does no one seem even to be complaining about what was happening? You cannot go get your haircut, but you can go to Walmart. okay? You can't go to your local butcher shop, but you can go to Walmart, okay? You can't go into the gift shop, but you can go to Walmart. Are you catching my drift? The facts behind what we just lived through are so insane. You cannot go to church, but you can go to the liquor store. What? You can't go to church, but you can go to the pot shop in states where it's legal, down the street. In other words, if it made you numb, if it made you incoherent, if it did things to your brain, you could do all of that you wanted. But if it gave you a point where you could congregate with other individuals and discuss what was happening around you, they couldn't have that. They couldn't have that. Let's pause to explore the meaning of the word lockdown. Okay, let's talk about that. All right. We often hear now that the U.S. never did lockdown, as ridiculous as that sounds. Okay. Epidemiologist Jay, and I cannot pronounce this guy's name, Bhattacharya. Yeah. Anyway. Grew so tired of hearing this claim that he formulated a definition for lockdown. Any government policy that seeks to keep people physically separate under the excuse of doing so mitigates against some crisis. Okay. Again, what the hell does that even mean? This would include claims, for example, that other people are biohazards and would include fear-mongering propaganda and much else. This is what we're looking at, okay? We knew for a fact that lockdowns didn't work. We knew for a fact that masks were worse off for our health than not wearing the masks were. We knew that. We had the science to prove it, Mr. I am the science Fauci. Lied to your face over and over and over again. And now that he's been in front of Congress, the only thing he could tell them is, I don't remember saying that. He said it 154 times. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. You were forced into situations that were totally unnecessary and intolerable. And it was meant for one reason and one reason only. To gain a tighter grip over you physically and mentally. Because even after all of this is said and done, or supposedly, you don't get back all of your rights. You just get back enough to think you did and to say, thank God this is over. Where have I got this wrong so far, Steve?
I can't find the spot there, but...
Okay, why don't we take this spot to do the TLV talk spot?
That sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, everybody. Again, think about it. Use it. It's a great place to go. It's a great place to go and talk about the things that you just may not be able to talk about anywhere else, or they'll let you think your word's getting out, but nobody's actually seeing it. Okay, tlbtalk.com. It's a place to go. It's a place to talk. All right, let me go over this point real quick before we go further into this. And that is, what's the actual meaning of lockdown, or what are we supposed to believe it is? And I believe I started with, we often hear now that the U.S. never did lock down, as ridiculous as that sounds. Epidemiologist Jay something or another, no, I'm not even going to try this time, grew so tired of hearing this claim that he formulated a definition. Any government policy that seeks to keep people physically separate under the excuse that doing so mitigates against some crisis. Yeah. This would include claims, for example, of other people as biohazards, and would include fear-mongering propaganda and much else. Yeah. Well, I've got to tell you something. The amount of people that jumped on the bandwagon for isolating and locking down and physical separation is far beyond what most people believe. And what we found out is who in our neighborhoods were the tattletales. There's even tales of people using drones to fly over their neighborhood to see who would have more than one or two cars in their yard, meaning that they had people at the house they shouldn't have had, and calling the authorities to let them know about it. No, this is not a joke. This happened way more than most of us would even have considered it would have happened. But let's go on. Think back to March 16, 2020, in the White House press conference when Birx, summed up the whole theme of the day. We really want people to be separated at this time, to be able to address this virus, she said. We want people to be separated in order to address this virus. But you could still go to Walmart. But you could still go to the liquor store. But you could still go, and I could go on and on. The things that would put chaos into your life, like pot, like alcohol, like things like this, you were allowed, okay? If you think about it, that is surely among the most draconian demands ever made by any government against its people. You will stay in your house. You will see nobody. Nobody will see you. And you will do it until we tell you you can come out. It means the abolition of freedom and society too. Because if everybody is isolated from everybody else, society ceases to exist. It's utterly astonishing, and yet the media gathered there, listening to all of this, just nods their heads as if this were completely normal to them. This is where you start to see the emphasis being put on a bought and paid for media. Okay. Part of the mandatory separation, or part of the lockdown, was information control to keep people who opposed what was happening from finding each other. And I alluded to that earlier. This trick truly did work, because all our usual methods for digital socializing came to be nationalized overnight. Nationalized meaning the government basically took control over what they could and couldn't do, or should or shouldn't do. And social media pretty much just laid down and said, whatever you want, boss. We did not know this because there was no real announcement, but it was nonetheless real. Nobody stepped up to us to say the government is every single week sitting in our main office telling us what they want, what they don't want, who should be able to talk, who shouldn't be able to talk, and this is why you're seeing the things you're seeing. Nobody ever put that announcement out, nor would they have. It would basically have been shooting themselves in the foot. We had to come to rely on social media to give us a sense of public mind. This was because of the time and the general availability of social media. But that came to an end during the most shocking policies ever imposed on so many Americans. And the policy happened all over the world except for one state and five nations across the entire planet. The lockdown included information control, and that was crucial. As for the possibilities of hearing the opinions of others, we also faced egregious stay-at-home orders and limits on the numbers of people who could even enter our own homes. I've not yet seen a complete study on what happened. But in the, I don't know, say Western Massachusetts, no more than 10 people were allowed to meet in one setting. Thus, no weddings, no funerals, or large house parties. Private citizens became so zealous in their enforcement of this, here we go, that they would fly drones over their communities to look for cars bunched up and rat out the addresses to the local media. This truly did happen. What really surprises the hell out of me is that nobody sat down to do their own research. Little things that would have told so many people so many things. We are wearing masks because those masks are supposed to, or we're wearing, were supposed to keep us from getting sick. Except what most people don't understand is that those masks were originally designed for operating rooms, not so that when you're operating, something from that sick person can come up and infect the doctor. No, it was to keep the doctor's spittle, his, because there's a lot of moisture when you breathe, all of that stuff from getting into the open wound or the where they cut open their patient. In a lot of cases, what you're wearing for a mask, whether it be cloth, whether it be cheap store-bought mask, whatever it be, can't even stop a virus. If you're wearing a cloth mask, let me explain something to you, okay? A virus going through the holes of a cloth mask is like a BB dropping through a hole. Let me say that again. A virus going through a cloth mask is like a BB dropping through a hula hoop. There ain't nothing there to stop it. But if you wore a cloth mask, you could go into a bunch of other people all gathered together and do whatever you wanted. But the fact remains that scientifically speaking, that cloth mask is absolutely useless. Don't even put it on. But they got you isolated, and if all it took was for you to wear a cloth mask, they told you it worked, and you believed them. And they don't. Or if we're talking about a regular mask for your children, how many of your children, and there is a massive increase of sick kids across this planet, and most of these kids were masked over an extended period of time. When you breathe in a mask, not everything goes out through that mask, especially if it is one of those masks used by the doctors. Okay? Not everything goes out. And a lot of moisture hits those holes and pretty much blocks them. And when you breathe in the good stuff, you breathe out the bad stuff. The stuff your body needs to get rid of because it's toxic to the body. But if you're wearing a mask and you've been breathing through it, even after about 10 or 15 minutes, how many of those holes are blocked by the moisture in your breath? And how much of what's coming out, germs, will never get through the holes in that mask? They won't. So what your kids were doing day after day, hour after hour, every waking hour, is breathing their own germs back into their body over and over and over again. How many people told you about that? Is this reality? It's absolute! So in order to protect your children from a virus that has a knockdown power of the yearly flu, of which hardly any children ever die from. You force them to wear a mask that is guaranteed to knock their health to its knees. Are you listening, people? You didn't make it better. You made it worse. And who took the time to do the research? You would all have known that with an hour's worth of research. And you never would have let your kids wear those masks. But you didn't. Your government told you this is the way it's going to be. And you did it. Because my government wouldn't lie to me. My government wouldn't take my rights away. My government wouldn't go into Twitter and tell them to block me because I'm telling the truth to too many people. My government wouldn't do that. Except they did. So we have put a huge chunk of this country in much higher levels of danger by doing exactly what we were forced to do via a lockdown mechanism from our own government. You tell me Fauci didn't know what I just told you. You tell me Gates doesn't know that. You tell me any doctor who has ever worn a mask doesn't know what I just told you. How many of them told you that? Did Fauci ever tell you that? Fauci told you you should double mask. What? But that's what he told you. You should double mask. Yeah. Okay. Only now we see the larger point in all of this. It was to prohibit an opposition from forming. And to gaslight the whole population into thinking that everyone was going along with this. Everybody has a mask on. Everybody's going along with this. Nobody's more than 6 feet, closer than 6 feet together. Everybody's doing this. Okay? Anthony Fauci told us this many times. Okay? This is... it's common sense public health measures, except what I just told you throws all of that into the toilet. But this guy was the science. I'm the science. Ask me. I'm the science. I'm Mr. Science. This might also have contributed to the huge decline in health of the general population. And I'm going to tell you, it's not might also have contributed. It's absolutely did contribute. People lost a sense of hope and turned to substance abuse and overeating. Gyms were closed, and so were all in-person Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. The lockdowns contributed as much as 40% to the overall excess deaths in that year alone. A 40% increase in excess deaths. That's not insignificant, people. And none of this ever had to happen. Eventually, of course, many things opened up, but unvaccinated visitors, say from other countries, are still not allowed in, which is an outrage. After a couple of years coming from another country, you're not vaccinated, you can't get into the United States. But yet, you're not being forced to vaccinate, but anybody coming into this country or anybody leaving this country, going to another country, because our president threw us in on a deal, a global deal, which says if you ain't vaccinated or you don't have a vaccine pass, you can't get into another country. Of all those who signed onto that global deal. Did he ask you that? Did he ask you if he could stop anybody who hasn't been vaccinated, anybody in the entire world from getting into America? Did he ask you that? Did he even present it to us before he went in and threw America all in? Did he? Are you starting to understand that you're not a part of this entire scenario? You are the outcome of this entire scenario. Question. Have we really ever left lockdown? We are far less free today and far more censored. Twitter is an aberration among the major tech platforms. media is controlled too. But for the Liberty Beacon sites, Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, and a few others, plus, say, the Epoch Times, where would we even get our news? If nobody knew about the Liberty Beacon, if nobody knew about TLB Talk, if nobody knew about RBN, if nobody knew about Eagle's Eye Report, if nobody knew about, and I could go on. These are the news sources we have come to trust, where we get our news, where we understand what we're actually facing. Other than that, where can you go? You can't. And thank goodness for Subtrack, which has allowed so many writers and researchers to actually have an outlet to put what they truly believe on. The point is that these are all lights peeking through a darkness that is still being imposed from above, which is to say, the emergency for human liberty is still with us. Anybody out there that remembers what it was like 3 years ago, do me a favor. 2 years down the road, when most of this has subsided, and I say most because it will never all subside, take a look and make a comparison between then and now. And then, if you've got half a brain, which most of you who would listen to a show like this, I would imagine would have to have way more than a half a brain, think of what didn't go away. Think of 9/11 and all of the rights and all of the personal freedoms we lost as a result of 9/11. Think of that. And I could go on and on. It's not the only, I don't know, it's not the only time something like that happened whereby it was used to the benefit of the government. Due to the NDAA, as I said earlier, and 9/11, the Patriot Act, due to these things, you have a lot less rights now than you think you do, especially in the area of privacy. The government, I don't know, basically what they're saying is we want to keep terrorists from doing something like this again, so we need to be able to look into your private stuff and whenever we want to look into your private stuff to determine if your private stuff is dangerous to anybody but you, or even to you. We live in a world today that will never, ever be what it was 10 years ago. It won't be. Why? Because we gave them 100% and we'll get 90% back. Now, that hurt us real bad after 9/11. But there aren't too many events that are that big that we actually lose that much. We are talking about an event that is going on 3 years old. We are talking about an event that has taken massive rights and liberties away from we the people. We are talking about an event that most of us have said, I'd be willing to do just about anything if this would be over. So when they give you 90% of your liberties and rights back and you go, my God, I'm so glad it's over. How many of you are going to look for the 10% you didn't get back? And if this was a small emergency and you lost 10%, it would be so small you probably couldn't find it. But the 10% from this ought to be in your face blatant. And I will be writing about this over the next year. I will. I'm going to tell you right now that masking up may be a drop of the hat thing for this government to do anytime they feel it'll benefit them. I'm going to tell you lockdowns, you haven't seen the last one, they will happen again because now they know they can do it and they can get away with it. Both of those mechanisms, along with closing churches down, along with closing schools down, along with each and every one of these fits well into a mechanism of control. That's what this entire show has been about. If there is no emergency, but I need more control over you, I'm going to make one. COVID-19 was not a global killer. We've heard this from the CEOs of the people that make the freaking vaccines. But yet you have seen more global economic destruction and more loss of liberties and rights than at any point outside of a major war in the history of this planet. How much do you think you're going to give back to you? How much do you think you're going to get back? Stop and think about that. If they had to do this in the first place, people, how much of this will they relinquish back to you? And when will the next lockdown happen? And anybody out there who's saying that'll never happen again, well, I hope you're with me and about 50 million other people who work together to make sure it doesn't, because if we don't, it will.
Hey,
they
Roger?
Wanted to keep us... Go ahead, Steve.
I was wondering if the 2 weeks to flatten the curve is up yet.
I can always plan on you. That was great, Steve. Thank you very much. That was perfect. They wanted to keep us separate. The excuse was a virus. The rule of separation and the stickers are still everywhere, all around the country, was truly to keep us apart. The rule of separation was simply to keep us from talking. One of the most powerful books to come out of the era is Naomi Wolf's The Bodies of Others. The core theory was that separating humans from other humans was the whole point, to take away our social connection and the possibility of living a dignified life of our own choosing. The only beneficiaries to the policy where tech, media, and government have overreached so far are, guess what? Tech, media, and government. I would highly recommend Naomi's book. I think it is a classic for the ages. Part of this separation included the attack on small businesses and traditional commerce. The word commerce comes from commercium in Latin, a word that figured prominently in a composed verse from medieval Christianity that became a much loved, it's O Admirabile Commercium. Okay. Hopefully I didn't butcher that too bad. The point is to draw attention to the exchange between time and eternity as instituted in an incarnation that Christmas celebrates. All right. I'm not exactly sure what he intended to say there, but what I am going to say is I think what he's trying to tell everybody is that the more we are together, the more we come up with ideas they don't like. And the entire idea here was to keep us separated long enough and far enough apart that we couldn't formulate some sort of a team to go against them, to push back hard enough to make that a reality that far more people would see. In order to do that, they needed to isolate us as much as possible. When's the last time you saw a global lockdown? When's the last time you saw the law absolutely 100% be that into a fact? Globally, when? Commerce has long been the meeting place for humans to form social order. Commerce. Trade means mutual benefit, finding value in each other. That it came under such severe attack makes sense from the point of view of a ruling class that was attacking human association at its root. All of this comes back to you and me, and if we get together, what can we figure out to do to them? Or what can we learn about the lies we're living under? Even today, we are having difficulty finding each other and are relieved when we do. Consider this during this year's holiday party. There you are all together, the room filled with incredible energy, everyone toasting friendship and connection. Smiles are everywhere, a profound sense of gratitude for the physical space that allowed you to meet and eat. all of you knowing full well that you, that you went months and even a year and longer when you could not do this by order of government edict. Just discovering each other and sharing tales and ideas amounts to an act of defiance. Yeah. Okay, two Christmases came and went when we were told that meeting and celebrating the seasons, meaning Christmas and New Year's, was a biohazard and not recommended. Being with your family, okay, was not celebrating. It was a biohazard and not recommended. In some places, it was even forbidden totally. It's hard to imagine a more grim policy, and it still shocks us to think back and realize that it was all deliberate and indeed unnecessary. One means to reverse this horror is simple. Find friends, celebrate together, share stories with ideals, promote peace and love, and work to rebuild what we've lost. But at the same time, don't ignore what we've lost. And just consider it something you'll never get back. The rights and liberties we have are not defined by those sitting in Washington. The rights and freedoms we have are defined by the Constitution. And if need be, a further definition can come from SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. But to have congressmen or to have senators telling FBI agents what they need to do to, I don't know, eliminate our rights to strengthen their positions, their forever positions in the American hierarchy. These are things that we can get back. But it's like anything else. If you don't know it's there, if you don't know it's gone, if you didn't take the time to see what you had and then what you had to suffer without and then what they gave back to you. Everybody assumes because 90% of what they took away came back to me, life is great again. God, I can go down to the gym. My goodness, I can go, yeah, I can go anywhere I want. But what can't you do? And there are a lot of can'ts that are still left. There are. There are still some places you can't get into without a vaccine. There are still some places where you can lose your job unless you're vaccinated. There are still some places, and I could go on and on. Some of these things may never go away. But at the same time, you need to understand we can make them go away. Isn't it about time that we did a little bit of homework, found out exactly what the hell these people took away from us, and demanded back? If we continue to allow every single emergency ever declared in this country to truncate our freedoms and our rights, how much longer before we are, I don't know, the Soviet Union? It's sure starting to look like that now, isn't it? Communism rears its ugly head in America. And the only way you can get a communist government in with all of the power it needs is via tyranny. And what we are looking at all around us today is tyranny, people. They're your rights. They're not the government's rights. They're your servants. They're not your bosses. And they're playing with your life, not their own, because they don't live by the same rules we do. Oh, and let me give you a hint. Word has it Nancy Pelosi's never been vaccinated. Want to bet a whole hell of a lot of them have never been vaccinated? You have to play that game. They don't. All right, Steve, anything you want to stick in here?
Yeah, two last things, Roger. I don't know who was attributed to have said this, but somebody said, you can vote your way into communism, and your grandchildren will have to fight their way out of it.
Fight their way out, yep.
And the last thing is, nobody's been able to show me in the 14 years I've been doing this how these people have power and authority over us. Nobody's been able to prove it to me.
They don't. Nope. If things are done properly, they don't. But the thing of it is, they've been accepted being done the way they are for so long, it has established a norm.
Things are going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as, I don't know, what do you think we pretty much covered that pretty well, Stephen?
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody listening, thank you very much. I wish you all a very pleasant Christmas. I really do. And we'll be talking to you again next week. Thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye Report from myself and my absolutely phenomenal co-host, Stephen. Interchange.